have the privilege of introducing our speaker this morning. Susie and I have been friends for a long time. Speaking of working tirelessly on the search community and finding people who represent us well, Susie's also on the search committee. And, you know, she is accomplished in her own right. She is Dr. Susie Bauer, and she is a very, like, accomplished person in her field. But you would never feel that because she is extremely humble, willing to serve and care wherever she is. And if there is one person you want in your corner, it's Susie. Because if she's in your corner, she will make sure that you have encouraging notes and that you will have meals at your door and that, you know, like, you can drop off your kids in you know, like, if you're in a pinch. And she is just gonna care so well and so deeply. And that is why I invited her to come and speak on community this morning, because she understands it and she's experienced it, and she has stories of how she's been loved in community and how she has chosen to be community. And this morning and this month, we're spending time looking at our core values of love and authenticity, celebration, community, and missional living. And Susie gets to come up this morning. I just want to invite her up, and she gets to share with us on community and what does it look like to be here at Missio and as a body in Christ living out community.
Thanks, Vicki. Good morning, Missio. I was watching all those kids heading out, and normally that's where I get to go. If I'm ever teaching, I get to follow all those kids out there. So if anyone wants to, like, shout out that it's your birthday today or roll on the floor, I'd feel really comfortable. That would be just fine. I have gotten to be part of this community now since about the time that we started meeting in a building. And it actually popped up on my phone. It came up on my phone, and it said September 18th, 2011, was our Missio launch at St. Barnabas Church. And I just had to send a text to thank those just wild, amazing, courageous people who are on the launch team, who said, I'm gonna do it. I am going to jump into God's wild plan, take a step of faith, and launch a church in Southwest Portland. At that time, it was the youth building that we were meeting in at St. Barnabas. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon because that's what time was available. And those people, that group of you that said, yes, you gave my family Missio, which was life-changing for us. So like Vicki said, this month in this series, we get to hear about our core values from a few different people. And such a great time to go into this because we are in this season of change. We're in the season of trust as we are transitioning into a new lead pastor, as we just heard about. And I cannot tell you enough how well you chose in Hannah and Thomas. They are just phenomenal in the way they are seeking Jesus and loving each candidate and seeing them and hearing them. They have just been incredible. I feel like we're also still settling into these church grounds, right? And this amazing building that God has entrusted us with. And it's just a good time to be reminded of who we are and what we have already committed to. As Vicki said, we got to hear from Tim about love and authenticity. Thanks to Pastor Tim for taking the two value week, just those two small topics he covered. And then John Chang jumped in. So thankful for him. Jumped in for me last week when I was sick and talked about celebration. And then next week, we get to hear from Birch about missional living. But today is all about community. It's the core value that I love. I don't know if we're allowed to pick a favorite core value, but it might be my favorite. And I'm not an expert, obviously, and have not come close to mastering community, but it's a joy to be learning about it and learning alongside each of you. But, you know, why community? Why do we do it? What's the kingdom value? And what does God say about it? At Missio, we always see, we've got our logo, and then we've got that triangle after the logo. So everything we do, we frame in that triangle, which means up, in, and out. That up is our relationship with God. The in is within this family, in these walls. And that out piece is that spilling out beyond our walls to our community, our neighborhood, our city, and into our world. So we're going to keep this in mind as we look at community, that up, in, and out, and how community works within that triangle. So a little background on how my family ended up in Missio and ended up in this Missio community. Some of you know that I did not come to Portland very willingly. We had come here for 1 year for Jeremy's fellowship at Shriners, and we felt like we'd been really clear with God. We said, 1 year, God, that's it. Our families were in Washington State and they were in New York State, and that was what we told God. That was our next stop, one of those two places. As you might have guessed how our plans turned out, here we are 14 years later. It became pretty clear to us that God's plans were different from our own. My husband and I were attending Mosaic Church at the time during that 1 year that we had planned to be there, and we heard John Chang preach, and he shared about this new church that he felt God calling him to. And Jeremy and I had just never been more sure of hearing God's voice, of hearing God say, go. This is the adventure that I'm calling you to, that I want you to be a part of. And before this, I'd been really purposeful about laying no roots in Portland because I didn't want to be here. So it was going to be a short time. But finally, one Sunday, we came. We came to one of those first times that Missio met in a building at St. Barnabas. We were greeted by the most exuberant greeter I have ever met. We were told we had to meet this other couple who had a missional community started, and we were at that missional community that week, and that was it. We were in. And within a few years, we were leading one, so be aware. There's risk. You're going to hear that term a lot this month, and today especially, the MC, or missional community, and that's just our really core way here at Missio, that we just dive into community. It's our smaller groups that we have just deeper friendship. We get to celebrate, we learn, we have discipleship, and our goal with those smaller groups is then we spill out beyond the walls, example of what God's people look like when we're doing community His way. And if you have not found one yet to plug into, we would love to help you find one. So today, let's touch on a couple of key verses about community, and then we're going to just settle into the book of Mark, and to a story that I just feel like embodies community so well. Now, I know the word community might bring completely different images and emotions to each of you. I know that some of you maybe have been hurt by community or failed, and I know, because community is chock full of sinners, and I'm sorry for the hurt or for the pain that's caused you. And I think it's really hard after that to jump back in, to try again, to say yes again. And maybe for others of you, you just think of amazing experiences and beautiful times with community. And kind of in light of that, in the light of those two extremes, let's start by looking in the book of Acts. So Acts 2 is where we're going to be looking, and it's going to be Acts 2, 42 through 47. And we're looking here at the early church, soon after Jesus died and rose from the dead and had gone back to heaven. So I'm going to start reading in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. All right, there you have it. Easy, right? Community. Oh, I think this verse embodies that pull that many of us feel about community. I know what it does for me. I read this, I want it, I long for it. There's unity, there's miracles, there's sharing, there's praise, there's generosity. But then I also read the cost and the sacrifice of giving up everything they owned. So I want it, but do I want it enough? And we do get to follow this early church. We get to see it throughout Acts. We get to see it throughout the New Testament. And we know it had failures as well. It wasn't always perfect or easy for them as well. Right after this, Ananias and Sapphira have their problem. And then we looked to how they dealt with diversity. They had Greeks, they had Jews, they had women, and they were also trying to figure how does this look in God's kingdom? And that's something beautiful we have here as well, is that diversity that we get to embrace. So again, the early church did not stay perfect forever, but I think the passage shows us, it shows us God's heart for community and what he can do in and through it. So whether you're the ones thinking like, it's hard to jump back in after pain or hurt or you've been failed, or you have absolute joy in community, I think I can appreciate those two extremes because our family has really had both, and we've had both here at Missio. I think I'd be remiss if I let you think that we jumped into that missional community 13 years ago and it was living that early Acts church that we were generous, devoted, pouring out love, and it was just spreading everywhere we go. And that's what we long for, but it wasn't always our reality. In our years here, we've gotten to be with a number of MCs, leading, attending, and some have been hard. We've had struggles. We've had ones that were dysfunctional and just needed forgiveness and grace and a lot of Jesus. One of the times we even had our lead pastor, John Chang, he was coming, he was meeting with us. He was working on reconciliation of the brokenness in our group. We had end of marriages within our group. And a lot of those people in those early MCs, they're not even here anymore. One person went home to Jesus. Some have changed ministries. Some have changed cities. So there were some moments that were just full of struggle. But we still knew that community is what God designed us for, and he's called us to it. Our associate pastor, Joel Cho, at the time, he was the director of missional communities, and bless him for his patience. Every summer, he would meet with us, normally in our backyard. He would say, all right, Jeremy and Susie, are you going to keep doing it? Are you going to keep leading? And each summer, I think he just saw these tired, blank faces staring back at him, being like, oh, okay, are we going to do it? Are we going to keep being determined to live life together? Anyone else ever get tempted to just hunker down and just hide from community for a little bit? I do. It isn't easy, but is it worth it? Yeah, we believe it is, because I think for us, we've gotten some of those times where God has been so good to give us glimpses, right? Where we get those glimpses of kingdom community, those beautiful moments where God reminds us what it looks like. For our family, those glimpses have been all the way back to when we were having those moms groups with our little tiny toddlers and babies, and someone else would go scoop up my toddler before I could even get there and take care of him. And I didn't even have to come because someone else, I could trust them. Or even just a few weeks, it was looking out in my backyard and seeing the men in our MC, watching them laughing, sharing life, challenging each other. Or it was that still warm potato soup. I can still remember that came to our door the night we brought our baby home from the hospital. We all have probably experienced that. We do meals well here at Missio, so some great meals. Or even when we were just in this time of grief in our family, and it's just a pile of toys and games for our kids was just dropped at our front door. And those are those glimpses. And then I think there's a picture here of one of our camping trips for Jeremy and I. This was actually one of these moments. This photo just embodies it so well, because for us it was kind of somewhere between the Acts 2 church and like heaven. It was the first Missio camping trip where we were just sharing kids, sharing life, sharing hugs, and you could not make it more than like, I don't know, maybe 2 minutes walking down the road that someone wasn't offering you some cookies, some fresh coffee, maybe some bacon. My kids were trying to get better food from Joel and Vicky. Like, it was just a beautiful glimpse of kingdom for us. So each summer, Joel would ask, are you going to keep doing it? And each summer, we would say yes. And I'm so thankful. And I think that's the first step of community, isn't it? It's saying yes. It's yes to stepping into that messy, sticky community. And it isn't easy. And I think it can be costly. It can feel costly. And I know life is busy, right? Everyone is just full. Work days can be exhausting. I know that kids' activities can sort of take over and sports can take over. But I think if we wait till the day our MC is meeting to decide, do I have the energy? You know, can I make it? we're probably going to fail. I know I would. We really have to decide before to say yes, even if it means giving up something. Our missional community has had different mottos over the years. We've had times where it's been like high commitment, high challenge. We've said, you know, make a point to come, and we all did for a few years, and it was beautiful, and there was kind of some life-changing moments and people all attending. And we've also had years where we've said, grace to come, come as you can, and that's great too. I think there's places for both of those, but I do think we have to start by saying yes and just committing to the best that we can. And God's word in Hebrews, it tells us about that yes. It tells us about sticking with it. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 23 to 25, start reading in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So even here, we get to see that the early church, even then, it was a problem, wasn't it? People were tempted. People were sort of forgetting. They were forgetting to come together and meet and be together. We also see, I think, here in Hebrews and in Acts, that community is more than just attending Sunday mornings, and it's more than just casual friendships. There's purpose, and there is a necessity to it in our faith. This verse tells us that how can we possibly hold fast to hope, and how can we do this kingdom work if we're alone? We want to hold to that hope without wavering, and it tells us in this passage that God is faithful, but that we need each other to do it. I know I need to be stirred to love and actions of that love. And don't we all need encouragement? And for our missional community, I know that every week I study, I read, I prepare, I read those commentaries. But every time we meet, without fail, I am just blown away by what I learn from the other people who I meet with. Every time I see it through new eyes and a different heart by the people I'm gathered with, how often do we learn about how God works and about his character from somebody else, from what he's doing in the life of someone nearby us or around us? All through the Bible, we see that God works in people through other people. We see all throughout the New Testament, we see him healing, and we see the crowds around him, right? We see the disciples. We see all the people who are there watching what he is doing. So it's not just that one person's life that's changed. We see the lives change around it. We see Lazarus, he's raised from the dead. His life is changed, is given back. But what about everyone who saw it? What if they hadn't come? What would they have missed? What if they'd been too tired or too busy to be there? Take a moment this morning with me and consider, what has community given to me? What would I be like without it? What could I gain by just having a little bit more in my life? And what would happen in our kingdom of God and in our city if we all decided as a community to go just a little bit deeper in our relationships? You all need community, but this community needs you. And we see that God grows his kingdom in powerful ways when it's done his way. We see that church in Acts. We see the beautiful in part of the triangle, how they acted. That in part spilled out and became that out. It spilled out and people came to the kingdom, came to Jesus. They were drawn in by that. So that in became the out. And more people said yes and chose to join. And that's what we really want here at Missio. Francis Schaeffer says, our relationship with each other is the criterion the world uses to judge whether our message is truthful. Christian community is the final apologetic. Now, apologetics, we normally think about, it's how we justify our faith. It's how we argue our faith. And it is so important. It's important to know our scripture, to be able to testify to what we believe in. But I think our culture and our world is craving a different argument. one they can see, one they can experience. And this quote by Schaefer just aligns so well with what we want to see happen here at Missio. The message of Christ has to show in the way we live together, in the way we love each other, and demonstrate to the world how that hope spills out beyond the walls here. And that's that goal of community, that goal to spill to the out part. And I get excited about this as an MC leader, and I think the reason is because those out moments, those spilling out moments, have been some of the most beautiful and powerful times of our MC, where we've gotten to experience community together serving, where we've gotten everybody kind of painting a wall together, or dads and kids putting together furniture for the family room, or people putting together stuff for the bathrooms. And that's just a special thing that we get to do here. And I could talk more about missional living, but I'll leave it to Birch for next week to share more about that. So let's settle in here into the book of Mark. We're going to look at chapter 2 and look at what this says about community. And when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home, and many were gathered together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them, and they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Many of you know this story, and I love this passage. It might be because I am a physical therapist, and stories of healing and restoration of strength just feel powerful. The restoration of walking is just, it's a really special thing in my field that we get to see. But I just feel when I'm watching this, I could just be seeing a kind of like a Broadway show playing out. We see over here, we've got Jesus. He's in this house. He's preaching, and it is packed. Word has gotten out, and it is full. And then over here, we see these five men. We see four standing. We see one lying on the mat. He can't walk, but he has these four friends. We don't know how long they've been traveling, how they got here, but they got there. They got close, but they couldn't get in. There wasn't room. And I just wonder, what would we see on their faces? Were they determined? Were they discouraged? Were they hopeful? Some traditions I've read that they named these four men. They named them sympathy, originality, cooperation, and persistence. So I just think about these five men sitting here, maybe looking discouraged, and then one of them gets an idea. You kind of see the light bulb go off. He's got an idea. And this guy reminds me of my son, Graham. When everyone else, including me, sort of gives up, like, it can't happen. There's no way. There's no hope. Graham is like, "I got this. I'm going to figure it out. I've got a plan." Some amazing plans, some really wild plans. When he was really young, he decided that he was going to take his patio chair and he was going to secure it really high up in a tree, and that would just be a great place to hang out. And so he did. He kind of hefted it up, and he got swing set chains, and he wrapped it around and put it up in this tree, and he loves a good pulley. So this guy could be Graham in the story. Hefting up this mat with this man on it. So here they go. They're getting him up. I see people kind of looking around, questioning, like, "I don't know if this is a good idea." to be doing this, but they pressed on and they lowered their friend to the feet of Jesus, and he was healed physically and spiritually. The other reason I love this story is because it's my story. I would love to say I was the friend named Persistence or even Originality. I want to be the one doing that heavy lifting and maybe a little bit of scheming, but for a long time, I was not. I was the man on the mat, paralyzed in my faith. And being the one on the mat transformed my view of community. I had to have it. I couldn't live without it. It didn't just enhance life for me, it sustained it. And I know that a lot of you carry a story of grief or pain, something that changed your life forever. For me, it was losing my only sibling to cancer. Beth was diagnosed at 33, and she went home to Jesus at age 37. It wasn't a quiet or peaceful passing, and it wasn't quick. The pain and suffering was long, and it was severe. It was at the point that we were just begging Jesus to take her home and give her relief, and it didn't happen quickly. And she and my parents lived on the East Coast, and we were over here on the West Coast. We had a 1 and 3-year-old at the time. She was gone, and I had questions, I had doubts. My faith was shaken, and I couldn't see Jesus, and I couldn't get to him. At that time, I kept a journal specific to Beth's death, feeling determined that God would show me something if I just watched. And I still occasionally write in it. You can see up on the screen what I wrote. On the very first day that I picked up this journal, I don't know why it has an N on it. I think it was on sale. No one with an N initial apparently wanted a journal. So I got it. And I underlined the N words to make it tie to the cover. So on the first page I wrote, "Behold, I am making all things new." Revelation 21:5. And then, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And after those questions, I turned over to the second page and I said, "Father God, to answer, do you perceive it? No, I do not. This is all so foggy. And all has to be reworked and made new. I'm floundering. Show me. Teach me. Hold me. I'm no longer angry, but I'm lost." Pages and months later, I wrote, "When I couldn't see you, God, couldn't hear you, couldn't feel your presence, your people came. Your hands, your feet, your heart. This was you, Missio. You were Jesus to me in that time. Community, you allowed me that up part of my triangle, my connection to Jesus when I was too weak and I couldn't see him." In that passage of the paralytic man, we see Jesus looking at those 5 men, and it says he saw their faith, the 5 of them together. And I love that because we don't know who had more faith or a little less faith on that day, but he saw their faith together. I was struggling in my prayer life at that time, and a group of you invited me over to pray over me when I didn't have the words. Many of you poured into me at that time and stayed close when I had nothing to give. That's really when I started my friendship with Vicky. She had also lost a sibling to cancer, and she invited me to spend time with her, and I just remember thinking, I have nothing to give. But to all of you in that time, it didn't matter. You were with me when I had nothing to give. Jerry Sitzer is an author who I love. He has faced incredible grief, and he's a great author about grief and finding Jesus in your grief, and I'd recommend him. In his book, A Grace Disguised, he writes about the depth of love and sacrifice it takes to take a grief that isn't your own, to step into somebody else's grief. No one really loves to be around grief or a person who is grieving. But to choose to do that, to help carry someone to the feet of Jesus, to step in, is a pretty fierce way to love somebody. So sometimes we get to be one of the people on the four corners of the mat. Other times, we're paralyzed and we have to be on that mat. And I think, church, if we're doing it right, we're taking turns. No one can replace a sibling or any great loss. But now, finally, I can look back and I can see God has gone before. He had readied me for a loss that I didn't think I could bear at the time. He put my relationships and community in place to carry me. So you were my streams in the desert. And I had come here about 13 years ago, kicking and screaming a bit, leaving my family behind. And God has given me new family here. Mother Teresa says, "The problem with the world is that we draw the circle of our family too small." This is the call today. Sometimes family isn't easy. Community isn't easy and it takes work. But let's together push these lines out and start drawing more people into our circle of family. So let's just take a moment today to plan to spend some time in the coming week to reflect on our commitment to community. How have you already said yes? And how does it show? How does it show for each of us in the time that we spend with it? How invested our heart is? What is one step that you feel God calling you to take in deepening your community with his people? If you're already in an MC, how can you step further in by saying yes? How can you commit anew? How could you call someone, text someone, check in someone, be family? Maybe you're being called to lead and step into a leadership role. As an MC, maybe there's a new way this fall that you could be pouring into that out piece, that you could be looking together as an MC about how you could spill a little bit of hope out to our city or to your neighbors. Or if you're someone right now who is feeling weak or worn out, if you need to be carried today, would you let somebody know that you're feeling that way? If you're someone who could be on one of the four corners of the mat, would you keep an eye out for those who are weak and weary? And be ready to carry somebody in a new way. So at Missio, like we've said, our most direct way to enter into these deeper relationships and sharing life is through these missional communities. Many of these groups are just starting up. A lot of us took a break over the summer, so it's a great time to jump in. There's old groups, there's new groups. They are a really special place to study and to carry each other, to ask the hard questions. So please ask me or anyone on staff if you have questions about joining one. But there are certainly other ways to find community. So be as creative as you want. We have had moms groups, we've had study groups, we've had men's groups. I think the key is stepping in fully and saying yes. And to know it will be bumpy and messy because we're sharing life with broken people. But you need it and we need you. And it is worth it. Do you pray with me? God, thank you for the gift of my family here in Missio. Thank you for the family that you've given me that I didn't know I would have. God, the gift of community is so great. We know it has its challenges. We know that sometimes we need to say yes to stepping in again and again. But we are so grateful for the example that you have given us. We are so thankful for those moments of beauty that you have given us. God, I pray that you would renew our commitment to it and the way we love each other in this place and let it spill out as hope to our neighbors and to our city. Amen.
This morning you heard an invitation to lean in to community, None of us were ever called or created to do this life on our own. And it's true, some of us are called to sometimes be the guy on the mat, which a lot of us hate that. We don't want to be that guy. We want to be the strong guy in the corner, the one that always serves, always gives. And for some of us today, God is saying, hey, I know you're struggling. I know you're weary. Would you invite people into that and say, I need you to come and lift me and carry me because I can't do it on my own. And for others of us, we're like, I so long for this community that you're talking about, and I feel like I'm trying and I'm just not getting it. And I have been burned numerous times. And the invitation for you is, what does it look like for you to lean in? What does it look like for you to trust that, yeah, it's gonna be bumpy. It's gonna sometimes require reconciliation, but yet it is still the good news and the invitation that God has for us this morning. And so again, I want us to just go ahead and put that slide back up, the reflection questions, for us to think about, oh yeah, what does it look like for us to say yes this morning? What does it look like for us to lean in to the community that God is calling us into here with the church, with the people that God has placed us with? And it is impossible to enter into community without coming to the table this morning, because what the table invites us into is to remind us that we are broken people, that we can't do community perfectly, that in our brokenness, we disappoint people and we mess up, and the other people are gonna mess up and they're gonna disappoint us. And yet when we come to the communion table and we remember what Jesus has done, that he died on the cross, he gave of himself so that we may have life, so that we may have community with God the Father, but also community with one another. And so as we come up and we say, yeah, I'm not gonna be perfect, and the people around me who are gonna be community to me is not gonna be perfect, and yet you are perfect, and you will supply and do what you're gonna do to make it enough, to make it good